is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
All right, welcome to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Paul LaVoy, the co-host, but the man himself, the myth, the legend, one of the founders of Kids on the Colorado River, Dan De Los Santos, is in the co-pilot seat today.
Thank you, Paul. And
absolutely.
What a great day it is. As a matter of fact, I just stepped away from the desert program for the Kids on the Colorado River educational program. It's being hosted down at the Police Training Center, and we've got about 250 eighth grade students between yesterday and today that are learning from 12 different educational pods about the river. So want to thank all our sponsors and all our volunteers for being part of that program. We're turning those kids loose with a lot of great information that they'll remember for the rest of their lives. And so we have some really great speakers with us today. We're going to step back in time a little bit, and for those of you that have been in Havasu for a number of years, you may remember our past mayor, Richard or Dick Heilman, and he'll be our guest speaker for this morning, first half of the hour, and we're going to bring on Linda Bender as part of our second half. And the two know each other, so we're going to have some fun conversations.
Should be interesting.
It's going to be a hoot. So, boy, stay tuned because here we go. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor and Madam Senator.
That's right.
So excellent.
So, Dick, you're there with us today.
I sure am.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being part of our show. And, you know, why don't you tell folks, you know, a little bit about yourself, what your role was in Havasu, and how you got here.
Well, I got there kind of accidentally. I didn't take a wrong turn, but I worked for the Colligan Company in Chicago. And they threatened me. They called it an opportunity. I called it a threat to transfer me to Minnesota.
Jeez.
And I looked at our national citizen ranger. I said, Frank, you know, I've known you for a long time. And I'm telling you, as sincere as I ever said anything, I am not going to Minnesota. There's not a question. We don't have to go any further. He said, no, wait a minute. I said, no, he says, no, wait a minute. I am not going to Minnesota. Why in the hell would I go to Minnesota? It's colder than Chicago. Not going to happen. So it didn't happen. And the credit manager and I were close because I worked with him for the dealers I worked with. And I told Rudy Schlosser, the credit manager, I said, you know, I'm faced with a little dilemma. Frank is insisting I go to Minnesota. I'm not going. So how about you keep your ear to the ground for something in Arizona or New Mexico? That's it. That's the range of the area I want to look for a dealership. And he called me in one day, so let's go to, we used to go to Doris's on Milwaukee Avenue above Northbrook for lunch. He said, let's go to Doris's, we need to have lunch. I said, okay, so I met him up there, and he said, I got the store for you that that could stand a lot of help. And I said, okay, tell me. But he says, Lake Havasu, Arizona. So where's that? He said, it's on the west side somewhere.
Said, somewhere.
Okay. So I called the chamber and searched around a little bit. And he said, you know, you really need to move on this thing pretty quick. Because he said, I'm going to bankrupt it if you don't. And we're going to close that and start all over again. I said, well, okay. So I swear I went to work that morning. And I called and got airline tickets. And by that night, I was in Phoenix. The next morning, I drove up to Havasu. And I called my wife from there that evening, my late wife, Sally. And I said, you know, she said, where are you at today? I said, well, I'm in a place called Lake Havasu City, Arizona. It's a kind of a nice-looking old town, but it isn't very damn big. It's going to be a tough road. The chamber tells me there's 6,000 people, but a lot of them must be hidden somewhere.
Oh, man.
That's when I met Charlie Roy. I went to the IDD. I said, where's the hub of this thing? Is there a government or who do you talk to? And he said, just go see Charlie Royal. And so I did. And Charlie, of course, as you probably remember, was the manager of the Irrigation and Drainage District and the Sanitary District. And McCullough had brought him in to operate the thing. And he said, well, there may not be a total of 6,000, but he said, we're going to get there. Of course, he was all hip, hip, hooray, not overly boisterous, but just, you could feel it. And I talked to him for a little bit, and he said, you need to go see an attorney friend of ours. Go see Wayne Wachtel. He said, let me call him. You're going to have to hurry. He goes, plays golf today after lunch. I said, okay. So I hurried up to the Swing Wachtels, who I became friends with, obviously, and talked to him for a little bit. And he just assured me how the growth was going to happen. And I said, well, okay. And before evening, I called my wife and I said, you know, I think I'll look for a house. She said, we're going to move there? Well, if we buy this, we're going to move here. She never saw it till we moved there.
And, oh my goodness. Sight unseen.
Came in the old road down 95 from what's now 40 up there. You twisted, crooked, dippy thing. And we get to the Highlands, is now Desert Hills, but they were the Highlands. And,
right.
And I said, well, there it is. And she said, oh, my gosh, we left Glen Ellyn, Illinois, in a really nice new development suburb.
And she loved you a lot.
Yes, she must have loved you a lot.
There wasn't much in the Highlands at that time.
No, there wasn't.
So we got on, and somehow somebody told me, go see Ian McDougal at her real estate office. And she and Sally hit it off pretty well because they talked golf. I only wanted to find a house. I had furniture coming, and it was time to do that. So she handed us a handful of keys with addresses on each one, you know, for different houses. She said, I can't spend any more time with you. I'm going to Phoenix for the weekend. Okay, I don't want to bother you. But
that was easy.
True story, we just went and looked at each house and selected the one on the Coma and Rainbow, on the north end of Rainbow, on the Coma side. And she said, well, you pick a house and you just move in if you want over the weekend, and we'll straighten everything up Monday. And that's truly what happened.
Wow. I got to tell you, that's probably the most relaxed move concept I've ever heard. But the sight unseen with your wife moving to Havasu, now that's a moment. That's a real love trust moment there.
It really was.
So, Dick, I got to ask you were such an integral part of Lake Havasu City, and I think at one point, you became mayor, is that correct?
Yes.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
I don't remember how it all came about, to be honest about it. It just seemed to develop. Jim Rosensweet and Sam Nichols were on that original city appointed city council by the supervisors, the county supervisors. And Sam was in, was really involved in, because he got involved as a contractor from the Contractors Association to work on zoning and matters and pertaining to construction, which we found out not to be too hard, because McCulloch, in all knowledge, some way, put all these CC&Rs and deed restrictions, which we all know exist, in place, so you couldn't violate those. I mean, they were, it shall be, you know, so we all worked, in, and we worked a long time. Linda, who was the furniture guy down on the Tavasu Avenue?
Oh, he Jeff Gilbert?
Yes. Well, no, his dad.
His dad. Brian.
Right.
Brian Gilbert.
Right. Brian, we met at Brian's office. John Parrott and a gang of us would meet at Brian's furniture store pretty often and discuss what we were going to do the next move to decide how to do this. And the League of the Cities had given us a lot of help and information, the Arizona League of Cities and Towns. And so that's how we got the government somewhat organized in a fashion to go to a vote to, of the public to incorporate or not incorporate as a city. And I just, and then Jim Rosensweet, I think it was, yeah, I think it was Jim resigned, and I was appointed to replace him. That's how it started. Gene Pinto was mayor. And
so what year was that? What year was that, by the way, Dick?
Isn't that an interesting question?
In the 70s, sometime in the late
70s. Yeah, in the 70s. I'm not sure the exact day of the election. That's really what started it officially. But in the meantime, all the work had been done, you know, as far as the work that had to be done to incorporate as a city in the state.
Oh, right. So, right. Well, that took place in 1978.
Okay, good. I didn't remember that. You've got a good memory.
Yeah, that's it's because it's written down.
Not through any, not through any fault of his own.
Yeah, yeah, my memory's all written down right here. No, that's great. So, you know, you got elected, and, you know, each mayor has always had a pretty unique role in certain aspects of our community, and I wonder if you might have a couple, you know, experiences that you might share with us, the roles that you played in accomplishing something here in Lake Havasu.
And, you know, that was the first time he was elected, because he was elected mayor twice.
Oh, wow, that's a big deal back then.
Yes.
That was, wow, a second term.
Well, it was once removed. I was elected in between there, but then we had a period of time I didn't want to run again.
That's right.
And didn't. And I went to this fundraiser. Shobram was the announcer, I remember that. Lee was there. And my wife and I were sitting at one of the round tables in the bridge room there, she grew, and talking as couples do, you know. And I heard my name once or twice, and I thought, well, if I don't look up, they won't notice me. So I just kept looking down and talking. I thought, it'll go away if you just bear with it, you know. It did not go away because Linda was there. And Linda and Jay Scavuzzo. Ooh. You know, what a combination. Another voice from the past, but Scavuzzo, you know, that's why he was successful in real estate. You couldn't tell a sucker no. You'd tell him no, he didn't even understand you spoke.
No, he'd just come back and keep coming back.
You talk about turning the objections in the sales pitch. He could. anyway, and proof of that was back to when I moved there. About a year later, I said, I want to rent for a year to find out where this thing's going. And I didn't like where the shop was. It was on the corner of Shemoevi and Jamaica. And it wasn't ideal, and the building that they had built wasn't ideal. And so I went to rent. And at the end of the year, I said, Sally, we got to find a house. I don't like paying this rent. So obviously I called Scavuzzo, and he said, I'm going to have so-and-so take care of you. I forget who it was. He said, I'm busy right now. So I said, okay. These realtors are strange light, and they give you a parcel of keys to go find a rental house. Other than you want to buy a house, you don't have to be coerced into buying, and they're too busy to do it. But that's all right. We'll do something. So we went and looked at houses and kind of half-selected one. Didn't particularly like it, but it was a new house as everything was. And Scavuzzo called. He said, you're not buying that house. I said, what do you mean I'm not buying that house? He said, well, I'm not selling you a house. You don't, that's not the house you want. No. Well, I think my wife thinks it is. Well, I don't. Okay. I'm not married to you either. I have to talk to you at night, you know, so when I get home. So he showed us a house in Cliffwood, which was around the corner from Steve Greeley's home. They lived in a cul-de-sac, and we lived in, it was a cul-de-sac both ends of our lot, and he lived in the one. And so I said, it's a four-bedroom house, and I said, I don't need a four-bedroom house, and blah, blah, blah. Well, this is the house you need to buy. And I said, well, by the time we were done, we bought the house, at the end of that story. And it was the same with the second time in the mayor's office. When he and Linda were done, I ended up...
No, let me interrupt you, because I think it's kind of funny.
So I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, I'm gonna ask you folks to share that with us right after a quick break. And we're here with Dick Heilman and Linda Bender. And as you can tell, we're having some fun stories being shared with us today. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
All right. Having a little issue with my music here, but we'll take care of that during the break. This is the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. By the way, Dan, number 74?
Yeah.
Number 74. And we'll come back after a short break. If you want to text in your question for Mayor Heilman, it is 928-727-5566. And Linda Bender is here as well, former state senator Linda Bender. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Well, that's about the story of politics right there, Linda Bender, right? Clowns
right.
To the left meet jokers to the right. And somewhere in front of you is a lobbyist.
Yes.
All right. Welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating, our exclusive Havasu Pioneers sponsor. The show, of course, broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. That's right here. Sorry about that, Dan.
Yeah.
There you go.
Really? Are you sure?
Operator
okay,
error.
Because I can do this by hand signals.
All right. Perfect. Also brought to you by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And we're going to condense that story down a little bit as to how Dick Heilman ran for mayor. Right, Dan?
Well, that's right. We're here with Dick Heilman, and we're here with Linda Bender. And, you know, Linda, you had a nice little anecdote there about how that came about. Would you share it with us real quick?
Oh, sure. Our mayor at the time was being recalled, and we had another candidate who had stepped in, very, very nice businessman, but he didn't have the background or the knowledge for being mayor or on the city council. So at a fundraiser, Dick was at the fundraiser with Sally, and so I kind of corralled him out of there. He was sitting on the stage, and I said, I really need to talk to you, Dick. So I actually got on my hands and knees and begged him to be the candidate to run for mayor. So that whole weekend we had Mayor Spisano called him, former Mayor Spisano, Jack Cruz, a whole bunch of business people begging Dick to run because we had a pretty diversive council at the time and they needed somebody strong. I was on the council too. We needed somebody strong to be our leader and to be able to kind of put a neck on that, a foot on the neck of that council. And I knew Dick was just the person to do it. So that following day, Monday, he called me in the afternoon and he said, okay, Bender, I'll do it. I've had enough people ask me now. So he said, how do we do this? And I said, well, the other candidate is up at Wachtelbeen and Malm having a campaign meeting. So let me call them. And you got them 15 minutes, and I'll tell them that you're the new candidate for mayor. So I called over there, talked to the other fellow who'd been running. He very kindly backed down to let Dick be the candidate for mayor, and agreed he was just the right person for the job. So fortunately, Dick ran as the candidate for mayor and won, and the rest is history. He did a great job, so he's been our mayor twice.
Nice.
Man, that is just amazing. Dick, you know, that's the kind of story that when somebody tells me about how precisely they planned out everything and then Linda comes along and sweeps you off your feet and throws you right in the seat, I got to tell you, that's a Havasu story right there.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Mayor Heimel, I have to share this with you. We got a text on the KNTR Talk text line, 928-727-5566. It says, I sure do miss Dick living on my street, Colt Drive. It seemed that after every big rainstorm, our street was the first to get cleaned by street department.
I wonder how that happened.
Exactly. That's a great text. Thank you. Thank you, listener. We appreciate that.
That's amazing. So, you know, and Dick, we want to hear more from you. We're stepping into the next part of our show. And I want to touch base with Linda Bender because, Linda, you've had an amazing role as well with Arizona, you know. So, give us a little bit of background and tell us your position with the city. But how'd you get here?
It was my husband's fault. He brought me. If you can imagine coming from London, England, London, San Francisco, Lake Havasu City, population 16,000. But they were in dire need of an orthopedic surgeon here. And Bill and I visited, and we really actually liked the town very much and saw a lot of opportunity. So we moved to Havasu in 1983, and I started off cleaning out the kennels at the Humane Society for something to do, and then went on to be president of the chamber. I was on the Board of Adjustment. I helped start the Parks and Recreation Department. In fact, Mayor Spisano, who was a good friend, was really mad at me because we knew that the council had $1 million left over in their budget, and we didn't have Parks and Rec Department, and we didn't have any parks at the time here in the city. So I was hassling poor Jim Spisano on the radio about we need that money. So he finally said, okay, Linda, I'll make you into an advisory board. Dick Samp was the chairman of the advisory board. I was the vice chairman. We had Jack Cruz, Jane Camlin, a whole bunch of really great business people on there. And that evolved into our having Rotary Park with the help of course, the London Bridge Rotary Club. And that's how our parks and recreation kind of evolved. Well, then I was asked to be on the city council by Jim Spisano. He had to step down as mayor to be voted in by the people instead of just by the city council. So he and Marcus Bannerman asked me if I'd take Jim's seat on the council. And we happened to be at a fundraiser for John McCain. So Mayor Spisano asked me if I'd take his seat on the council, and I said, oh, I'd love to. But my husband kicked me in the ankle and reminded me I wasn't a U.S. citizen.
Oh.
So I had to go and ask John McCain. I said, I think I can fix this. So I went up to John McCain, and I used to run his campaigns down here for a long time. So I said, John, I wonder if you could do me a big favor. I need my citizenship. And he said, well, how long? And I said, I need it in 2 weeks. I just got honored by the mayor.
Holy
he said,
cow.
Linda, it takes 2 weeks for the FBI to, you know, sort of process you
the
and do a background check.
Sure.
So I actually got it in 6 weeks, but not in enough time to run to be appointed to the council. I ended up having to run. So I ran, and I was very fortunate to be the top vote getter. Oh. And then I was on the city council when there was a recall of the next mayor, Mayor Langeveld. And that's when we managed to get Dick Heilman in. So I became vice mayor. Mike Dagan had to resign because he was too busy with his real estate company. Mm. So Dick said to me, well, you can't turn this down now. Now you have to be vice mayor. So we actually had a lot of fun together. We did a lot of things. Maybe on another program we can talk about our trip to London when Dick had to make a speech along with King Hussein and Queen Noor.
In the House of Commons?
No, it was actually at Guildhall.
Oh.
We were guests of the Lord Mayor of London for 3 days. Dick and I went down to Ciudad Guzman, and that's a great story how Ciudad Guzman became our sister city. Dick and I got absolutely rolled because we thought we had a say in whether they'd be our sister city or not. But they wined and dined us for 3 days. Jay Lewis was president of the sister city organization. He flew us down, and he told us that the mayor, Berto, had wanted us. He wanted to be our sister city. So at the end of 3 days and a two-hour speech in Spanish, which Dick and I had no idea what they were talking about, they took us outside the city hall to the main town square. There was big red carpet leading up to a tombstone that said, Ciudad Guzman, sister city to Lake Havasu City, Richard L. Heilman, mayor. And I looked at Dick and I said, we've been rolled. They're not going to let us go back and talk to the council about it. We're it. So I guess we'll just smile and go along with it.
Oh,
which
my gosh.
Which we did. But we had a great relationship with Ciudad Guzman for many years. Berto, their mayor, went on to be the governor of Jalisco and invited us all to the palace in Guadalajara for their Mexican Day parades. We were all on the balcony waving. I felt like a Vita. 100,000 people down below. We're all up on
the
balcony.
That's a great analogy.
Little British girl. I'm a Vita.
I'm loving the story because the whole time she goes, yes, I'm from Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
That's funny.
And so that was the start of a really great relationship between our two cities. But there's so many stories to tell. One that I really did enjoy, where I'll blow my own horn here, but Dick and I was vice mayor, and we were involved in the purchase of land for the aquatic center. And we were buying the land from MCO, and of course you all know Jim Flynn.
Yes.
Who was the president of MCO and was in the role of trying to get all the land in Havasu sold from MCO. And he did a great job. He was a wonderful friend to all of us. Well, we're in the middle of the negotiations with all the lawyers on both sides, and Jim with his Irish temper and Dick with his German temper suddenly both got up and started yelling at each other. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, we're going to lose this whole deal. So I slapped the table and I looked at them both and I said, would you two stop being such complete assholes and sit down? And so, sorry, I guess I wasn't supposed to say that on the air.
That was close. I'm not sure on that one.
It's an Englishism. What can I say?
I get it.
Anyway, everybody burst out laughing and that calmed everything down. So we went on and were successful with the negotiations. But that was fun.
That's a you know, I got to tell you, that is a Havasu story right to the ground. So, Dick, give us hold tight. We'll look forward to your comment. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're here with Dick Heilman and Linda Bender, and I got to tell you,
I heard it as arse.
I am. Yes. That's yeah.
I heard it as arse.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a Spanish term. So
no, the English version, arse.
Absolutely. So we'll be right back.
All right, stay with us on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. 928-727-5566. Got a great text earlier. Would love to get more. And we'll see you on the other side of the break. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Dan Del Santos. The show brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Have you ever seen the rain coming down the state? Yesterday, days before.
Queen, gunfire, eternity, dynamite with a laser beam.
Guaranteed it to blow your mind. Recommended appetite, insatiable and appetite.
Wanna try?
All right, a little Queen. Of course, we have a huge Queen fan in the station named Marissa June, and the British are coming, right? We've got Linda Bender here, right? It's actually so nice to meet you in person. We've talked on the phone. I think
many
I've interviewed
times.
You on the phone many times, but I don't remember.
No, I don't.
All right, Speak Out brought to you in part, of course, by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City, by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Doritos Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care. I have to ask, with the World Cup coming to the U.S., Mexico, and Canada this year, you have to be a Lions fan, right? The three Lions? Yeah, the British national team.
English.
Oh, you do?
I didn't know that.
That's what I was. That's why I was asking who your favorite, you know.
Sorry about that.
Who your favorite football team was. But it's okay.
Don't have one.
I'm talking about real football.
Real football.
English Premier
rugby,
League.
Rugby.
Oh, okay, perfect.
I'm a fan of rugby.
Oh, okay.
That's
so you don't hate sports.
No.
Okay.
I love rugby. And actually, I shock people because I love to watch MMA wrestling.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is...
Cage fighting.
That is different. There's a big event coming to the Avi here this month, I believe. So
yes,
anyway, my
pool guy is playing in it. He's going to be one of the participants.
Oh, very good. All right. Dan?
So, you know, we're here with Dick and Linda, and we're having some really great conversations about some of their historic past experiences. And so, Linda, you know, you and Dick... you guys have really had quite a past together, as well as individually.
Oh, we have. We absolutely have. We've been really good friends. I love Sally, Dick's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, she died, but wonderful, wonderful lady. Always miss her. But my husband, Bill, and I, and Dick and Sally did a lot together. I think the coup de grace was our trip to London. We had so much fun with that trip. But also, I vividly remember asking Dick to be my treasurer when I became president of the Humane Society. Asked him to be treasurer for me, and bless him, he did. I know he didn't want to do the job, but he did it for me, got on the board. And I think that's really where we established that friendship, because we went
really
through
is,
some tough times.
You've got a darn dog for us.
Yes, I did. Whether you wanted one or not, everybody went home with the dog.
So Dick, you know, as mayor, what you know, is there a particular thing that you feel that you accomplished that is alive and well today for our community? Is there anything that was structured? I think didn't you play a role in Sarah Park?
Well. You know, I don't even want to talk about what I did for Sarah Park because it's all the credit for that goes to Jim Rosensweet.
Gotcha.
Put third paragraph. If it hadn't been for Jim, there wouldn't probably be a Sarah Park. County didn't want it, but they had it. And, of course, that was before incorporation. And Jim just plugged reluctantly or righteously along, making Sarah Park become part of the city park system, and it was such a good move. Look at the things that are out there.
Sure, absolutely.
No, my son-in-law probably will hit me in the head for it, but look at what Deb Campbell did with that rodeo ground.
Yep.
Yes.
David Ross, my son-in-law, plays a really active role in that. And it's Deb asked me to be his go-to guy in the thing. And I said, Deb, you know, I got so many things I'm doing. How about let me get David, my son-in-law, who worked for us in our business, and I talked Dave into it. He hasn't forgotten that. He reminds every rodeo season he's got this job. Thank you. It's a great success, and Jim Sterling airplane, model airplane thing, and I mean it's just a great place.
Now you wear a cowboy hat. You know, does that? You know, I understand from Linda that really takes precedence all the way to London. I mean, were you you brought that hat and during a fairly prestigious event? Your intent was to wear that thing.
I always have worn a hat.
Yes, and when they met us at Heathrow, because Dick and Sally were on a different flight to Bill and I, coming into London, and so the team went out to meet him, he and Sally off the flight, and take them to the, you know, good Lord, what's the name of the house there in London where we stayed?
Mansion.
The Mansion House. I kept thinking the White House, the Mansion House. So I said, yes, you'll recognize Dick when he gets off the flight. He'll be the gentleman in the cowboy hat and the cowboy boots. And they said, you're joking. I said, no, truly, he's a real cowboy. He has horses. He rides. He's a cowboy. So they met Gentleman Dick. And he really did a fantastic job of representing us in London. And everybody loved him, loved his stories. He cleans up very well when he has
That's funny.
So we had a great time there, and it was a huge honor for Lake Havasu for us to be invited there. Of course, we had a lot of involvement over the years with all the Lord Mayors and the people from the City of London who used to come over here for London Bridge Days.
Sure.
And they'd always stay. I used to have quite a few of them stay with me, some of the past Lord Mayors and Sheriffs. And so some great friendships were formed over those years. And sadly, most of those Lord Mayors have died now.
Well, I understand
but
that.
But it still lives on in the Arizona Education Trust, the London Arizona Education Trust, that John Parrott still runs with Rotary. And we're still sending students over there every summer to study. So a great opportunity for our young people. And it still keeps that wonderful alliance going.
Right. Well, and I think it's important for our listeners who are not aware of why these stories are relating to London. It is because of the London Bridge. It is our relationship with Europe, London.
Yes.
And at one point, the land underneath the bridge was actually owned by London, which they
right.
gladly donated back because we had them throwing parties underneath there at their expense.
Yes.
So it was truly a minute. So we got about 5 minutes left in our show, and I just want to, while we're winding things up, I wanted to make sure I thank you guys for being part of our show today, and we might even have you back again for some additional fun anecdotes that you still have to share. But so, Dick, as you're winding things up, can you think of anything you might share with our listeners about Havasu? And
you know, I heard two things from you. One was you named the Baumkirchner family. Gary, before he was tragically killed in Mexico riding his motorcycle, wanted to put a museum, a football museum, under the London Bridge.
Wow.
You know, the London Bridge is hollow, and it's a utility quarter. Both ends are open. closed, but they're with a gate, but they're open. And he, I don't know, we had Jim Schulte, an old name in the IDD history, toured him through that I don't know how many times as he figured what he was going to do, and he never accomplished it because he passed away. But, and you brought up Captain Radio. Well, that was Lee Shoglum's sign-on, sign-off, Captain Radio.
And the breakfast
yep. And so, yeah, he actually, Lee actually recorded that for us at, for the beginning of each of our shows. I was so thankful for him to do that. He it played a big role in my life in earlier years, and I really did appreciate Lee and a great many others.
4 or 5 years ago.
He did it right at the beginning when I asked him. And so, Linda, anything you can share with our listeners as we get ready to wind things up today?
Well, I always like to remember that as a child, I was brought up in London. I was born in London, in Greenwich. And I walked over this London Bridge many, many times as a child with my father.
Oh, that's really cool.
But I never, ever, in my wildest dreams, thought that I'd end up living next door to it. That was a complete
Now, that surprise. Is an interesting story because we do get people that have walked over the bridge and come here. But it's different for you because you moved here after doing so. And that's interesting. So you were a little girl at the time.
I was a little girl at the time. I loved London. My father, every Sunday, while my mother took a nap after lunch, he would take me on the bus. The bus stopped across the road from our house and would take us all the way up to the Houses of Parliament.
Oh, wow.
So my father would always take me to the different museums and art galleries. And really, he was such a lover of London. So he really gave me the history and background to the city. And to this day, it's one of my favorite cities in the world.
You know, I got to tell you, you know, next time I go to London, mm-hmm. I'm taking you with me because last time I went there, they were all upset when I told them where I was from and that I stole their bridge.
Oh, no.
It was longer than, correct?
Yes.
Is that over the River Thames?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Nice.
And just such beautiful history. I mean, it's one of five bridges that were built, London bridges. And I also had the opportunity to open up an exhibit of the London Bridge for the London Bridge Experience many years ago.
Wow.
They had a kind of makeup of this René Bridge.
Uh-huh.
And so I was able to give them the history and background of it and open it officially for them.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, I can't thank you enough, Linda, and Dick, for being on our show today. Our next show will be, and this, get ready, folks, it's April Fool's Day.
And it's our 75th.
It is our 75th show on April Fool's, April 1st. And so we're going to do some fun stuff with that. We're going to have some fun stuff for that show.
I never told you that story. One of the best speak outs on April Fool's Day, I had Jim Leeson on.
Oh,
remember
yes,
Jim?
Yes.
And Jim had just come from a P&Z meeting, and they were April Fools. They were discussing the color that we were going to paint the London Bridge.
Oh,
in the fury of calls. Oh man.
My Lord.
It was hilarious. People calling in, you've got to be kidding me. Oh. Yeah. It was, and then we finally spilled the beans. That's funny, right, Dick?
It is funny. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind ire that would raise.
Oh, Lisa cooked it up, trust me. That was not my idea.
So, you know, just so you know, we're going to have a lot of fun on our next show. Go to the Havasu Pioneers page. If you live in Lake Havasu or have lived in Lake Havasu City, you can become a member. And we post the show, what will the show will be about, our guest speakers, and we look forward to any suggestions you might have.
All right, perfect. Little Sir Elton John taking us to break. Does that work?
I'm all for that.
All right, little Rocket Man. And back with more in a moment on Speak Out. We'll have a final shot when we come back. Stay with us. I'll let you know who's on tomorrow.
I'm a rockin' man.
Just a little preview of what's coming up tomorrow on Speak Out Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. And Friday, I'll actually have no Speak Out on Friday. Saturday, planning on going to George Thorogood, of course. Monday show, we'll have Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and we'll have Sean in from Go Lake Havasu. And that'll be fun. Sean Buckley coming into the studio. City Manager Jess Knudsen on Tuesday. Lake Havasu Area Chamber on Wednesday. I believe Andrea's coming in herself. We're going to talk about the Civics Bee that's coming up and how you can go check it out live here in Lake Havasu City. We'll also have River Cities United Way. And then Mike White with Troop Box Convoy will be here. And I've got a recorded segment with Carrie Hemme, of course. All right, Hannity's up next.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.